This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello. Hi, everyone. Welcome to TVI episode 199. Fuck.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it's crazy. Julian is currently stuck in traffic, so we're going to start. Without him. Guest, Peter Jones, Australian. We've got some questions about your name, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Are you aware there's a famous...
Yes. I am
okay.
Aware.
All right, okay. We'll get into that later when Julian's in.
Yeah, we've
got Lucas on the ones and twos.
Hello.
Lucas.
So Julian will be... We're kind of a countdown to when Julian gets in. So I reckon he'll be 10 minutes late.
Yeah, he's not usually that late.
How long did he say he would be?
He said, I think I might be a couple of minutes late. And then he messaged saying, I think actually I'm going to be on time.
Oh.
Obviously then, the traffic's obviously, you can't drive anywhere in London at the minute. It's, no. Do you drive?
No, it's, all public transport.
It's, so I got rid of my car years ago. My ex-wife took it when we broke up. I said that like it.
In a way, you got rid of it.
Like, for environmental reasons.
Yeah.
And we broke up and like, she had the car. But I then thought I'll try and not have a car.
Yeah.
And it's so much better not having a car in London. Like, because every time I use zip cars now, the traffic is unacceptable. Like, it's the shittest. Like, there is roadworks in every single part of London.
Yeah.
It's like, surely, when I'm not being rude, but when are they going to finish London? Like, do you know what I mean? London should be finished by now.
The last time I've driven twice in London, or I've been in a car twice in London. One time I drove, and the other time, recently, driving to a gig.
Yeah.
Where I got into the car to, we were in the car for an hour, and we moved what took me by train 8 minutes.
Oh, man.
And we were in it for an hour and we were about to get onto the highway. And right before we got onto the highway, ran into the back of the car in front of it.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
I got out of the car. I was like, obviously, the car was.
You weren't driving this.
I wasn't driving.
That's the best.
Yeah. I wasn't driving. Not my car, but the car was totaled. We couldn't get to the gig.
Oh, fuck.
So.
Where was the gig? Where were you actually due to get to?
Nebworth. Off to Nebworth.
Oh, yeah. I know Nebworth.
But it was train strike day, which is why we were in the cars.
Yeah.
And then I just got off and I left the scene, I just got back onto
the crime scene.
I didn't have to walk very far to get back onto the train stop.
Oh, man.
We'd been in the car for an hour. We'd watched a woman cross the road and one of the other acts had made a comment. She'd made a comment on her dress.
Yeah.
Like, nice dress. And then we watched her return with her full shopping.
Oh, man. Disgusting. you don't want to say who was crashing the car.
It was the other act, her boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
Driving.
All right.
So the generosity to drive to the gig,
man.
And then the brutality of being
the it's horrible, isn't it? I remember me and I don't think she does stand up anymore. Holly Walsh, she's now a writer, and she was really a great stand up. But when we once. We're driving together. I was driving,
yeah,
and we were driving to Leicester. It was a Friday evening. and hit loads of traffic on the way out of London. And then my car literally, essentially blew up. Like, just as we were coming onto the M1 motorway, off like the slip road on,
yeah,
you know, really busy M1s, everyone's zinging past. This is a fast sort of feeding lane. Just smoke started bellowing out of my engine, like black smoke coming out. And then the engine just started losing power.
Yeah.
And I had my foot right down and just slowly just like came. And I had to sort of, I veered over to like where the lane joined the M1. Obviously, there's a barrier between there.
Yeah.
And I veered just right in front of like the barrier. So I was just out of the way of both lines of traffic. And we just had to get out and just, we didn't know, what do we do? We're on the motorway.
Yeah.
And the car is broken. Like, and we ended up, we called the RAC and all that. And the, obviously, by the time he got there, he went, you are never driving this car again. Like, it's dead. This is a dead car that you are going to have to scrap. And he was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, what do you do? And he goes, well, we tow it to somewhere local that you can leave it and then get it sort of picked up for scrap. So he towed us to Brent Cross, just a residential road. And like, we'd set off so early because it was a Friday, yeah, that for some reason we made this mad pact that we were going to make the gig regardless. So we wasted a couple of hours, obviously, on this RAC thing. And we worked out when we were at Brent Cross, if we got the tube to King's Cross, we could just about make a train to get to Leicester. And we made like the last train we could make, and it was expensive, we had to buy it there. And then like, but we, it was almost like this sort of odyssey, like we're going to make this gig. You know, like 2 hours ago, we were sat on the motorway waiting for the RAC, and we just made it. And it was so, we ended up like, got hysterical with like how, how stupid this, like, just cancel the gig, mate. Gigs don't mean that much. Why are you fighting like tooth and nail to get there? Now I cancel a gig if I wake up and I've got a minor headache. Nowadays I'll cancel a gig for any old shit, man.
How was the gig worth the journey?
No, it was shit. As well.
It's got to be, right?
It was a really ill-advised tour called the Best of the Leicester Comedy Festival. Yeah. I did it one and done, lost a fortune. And it was me, Holly Walsh, Jared Christmas, and Stuart Francis. Have you ever seen Stuart Francis?
No.
He's retired now, but he was an exceptional joke writer. Like, he was one of the best one-liner comedians. And he was from Canada, but he got really famous here for about 5 years. Because he did he did the first series of like Michael McIntyre's Roadshow and then the first season of Live at the Apollo, and was so just funny. And it was all one-liners, so it's perfect for TV. And he just got really famous and just did 3 or 4 years of like really big tours, yeah, and then just retired. I'm done, mate. I'm out. Like, he never liked, you know, but like I knew him relatively well, and I always got a vibe that he did not like hanging around with other comedians.
Yeah.
He was older and he was a bit done with it, and you know, he'd been on the road in Canada probably for 30 years and shit. But yeah, we did this tour, the four of us, and it was just a big theatres in the sort of the Leicestershire area. And like, I'm saying, I don't think we played to more than about 60 people. And a lot of them venues were like 600 seaters. Fucking horrible. There was one that was like a sports hall, hard floor. And I remember on the way to the gig, we were having a conversation about like shit, like hack heckle put downs. And there was that old famous one. Have you ever heard the one like, where'd you learn to whisper in a helicopter?
Yeah,
it's an old sort of jongler's sort of thing where... and we were just laughing about all these old crap lines, and Stuart was on stage and he made us cry with this, like, because it was obviously just for us, like at the back of the room. But at one point somebody wasn't enjoying his set and this lady got up and walked out like towards the toilets, just whatever, but she was wearing high heels, and because it was a hardwood floor, it was so like doom 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 echoing around this slightly empty hall. And he went, hey, lady, where'd you learn to walk in a helicopter? And we just fucking lost it, man. Only people laughing in the room. Oh, so funny. Mm. Anyway, so you've lived in, like, you've moved to London.
Yes.
How long have you been here?
Moved in September last year.
After Edinburgh. You did Edinburgh.
Yeah, did Edinburgh, yes. Then moved down after that.
And so where do you live in London? Let's talk geography first.
West Ealing, out west.
West Ealing. Okay, yeah, I know. I know. You live, I know, yeah. I won't say it. I know who's
my landlord.
Yeah. It's quite a funny landlord to have. I won't say, because he wouldn't, he doesn't want, I don't know why he wouldn't be weird about it, but it's just I don't want to divulge people's financial situation. But yes, I mean, I imagine he's the most laid back landlord.
He's quite laid back landlord, great landlord.
Yes, and Ealing is an interesting place. It's a bit, it is quite far out. Like,
we've got the Elizabeth line now.
Oh yeah,
we're connected.
Of course. No, yeah, that would have changed everything.
It's actually not too bad to get into the center of the city, and air conditioning and the best line.
The Elizabeth line is.
I work for the Elizabeth.
Outrageous. Line. I thought you got like some new job. Of, like,
I got a sponsorship deal with the Elizabeth line.
got a little side thing going on, a little side hustle promoting the Elizabeth line. It is amazing. Like I was at a funeral. I've been to so many funerals recently. I went to a funeral yesterday, which is why I'm a little bit hungover, that's the truth. But I went to one 2 weeks ago, and it was out in some mad, like, it looked so far east London, but it's like the Elizabeth line stopped right there. And then the wake was in Farringdon, and we just jumped on the Elizabeth line, like,
it's beautiful.
10 minutes to Farringdon. And it was miles, and it did it in 10 minutes. And then we went into Soho for drinks after when the Wake pub shut. And from Farringdon to Tottenham Court Road was 5 minutes. Like, we were all like, this is unbelievable. Like little kids on the lovely big train. But
and air conditioning the entire
it's
time.
Very good. Although what I'm not the biggest fan of, I don't know if they've changed this now. This is about a year ago when this happened to me. Certain times of day, they don't stop at all stops. Because I was meant to be doing a gig. I was doing a gig in where was it? Somewhere west. Wouldn't have been that. It would have been the other side of Ealing, further out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw there was a stop on the Elizabeth line that was like probably about a 10-minute walk to it. And I thought, okay, so that'll be fine and it was quite a tight double I was doing, but I was like, if I just make this train get there, I'll be fine. And I'd nailed it. I'd run out of my first gig, got to the train, all that. Sat on the Elizabeth line, like, I'm going to make it with like 10 minutes to spare. Sweet. And then just watched as the Elizabeth line sailed through that stop. And like, but the next stop was miles away. I had to jump in an Uber in there to hold the brake and sort of, you know, end up being like 20 minutes late.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it just sailed on through. No mention. I had headphones in, but I didn't hear them say, we will not be stopping at the next stop. So I think there are certain smaller stations it just fucks off after a certain time.
Yeah, it can alternate between, like, sometimes it will and sometimes...
They also don't stop at certain platforms. Like, they'll only, like, the first six carriages, you'll only be able to get off at the platform.
Yeah, that happens on the tube sometimes, isn't it?
I missed on the Elizabeth line. I was at the back two carriages and I was running through the train trying to get to the front four carriages and I didn't make it.
Oh, man.
I mean, I won't hear this Elizabeth line slander.
We're saying, you know, there are teething problems, even though it's technically the best line by some way. So Ealing, okay. And how are you finding the UK comedy scene? Because you've been in comedy in Melbourne for a long time.
Yeah, really? For a while now.
How long were you doing? When did you start?
I was doing it for like 9 years in Melbourne before moving over here. Yeah, it's great. There's so much comedy.
There's a lot of comedy here. Like, it's almost hard to get across to people, like, just how many gigs there are.
Yeah.
Like, on any given weekend in central, or not even central, but all around London, there must be, what, on a Friday night, 60 gigs or something.
Something insane.
Like, mad. Nowhere else has got that. Not even New York's got that, has it? Like, I think it is the most populated. And not obviously, there is a sliding scale of quality to those gigs. I'm not saying all 60 are absolute rocking shows. But, you know, like, you've got probably 20 big clubs.
Yeah.
That is, like, it's madness.
You can also get on a train for 2 hours and go to another city that has a bunch of shows in it.
Yeah.
Whereas in Australia, as you know, you jump on a train for 2 hours from Melbourne. It's just like, okay, well, now I'm still nowhere.
Wollongong, which is actually somewhere that is.
Actually, and that actually is good.
I did a gig in Wollongong. That's what, an hour?
It's probably an hour
west
of Sydney.
Nice place. I actually did a weird little corporate event there just before Melbourne Comedy Festival to launch the Go West Fund, which is a Victorian government funded, they sort of put some arts funding into the western suburbs. I don't know why I'm now saying it like I'm part of the campaign. Really good. Places like Wollongong, you're going to be seeing them coming up in the future. But I've been to Wollongong 4 times.
Wollongong or Geelong?
Wollongong. Geelong's even further out, isn't it?
Wollongong's in
I'm New saying South wrong. Wales. I'm talking about Werribee.
Oh, Werribee. Yeah, yeah, right.
So Wollongong. I did go to Wollongong for the first time this year. That's why it's that word was stuck in my head. So Werribee was where I did. I've been four times, which no one who doesn't live in
Werribee should ever. People have been there
four times. But Wollongong's lovely.
Yeah, Wollongong's nice too.
Like shockingly nice, because I did some roadshow there.
Yeah,
and I saw, like, you know. I got offered a little run of roadshow, and it just basically was like regional New South Wales. And I was like, boo. You know, sometimes there's some real Hollywood legs of that roadshow. Have you ever done any of it?
No, I haven't done it.
Like the Queensland leg is just, you're on holiday.
Yeah.
Just doing big, nice shows each night. But you're just, you know, I once did Cairns down to Brisbane, and it was like just glorious. And you know, some of us, there's like Darwin's really cool, and loads of it is real sort of,
Have you done the WA leg where you go to like the mining town?
I did a couple of bits of WA, but then I've also done regional, you know, Victoria. And when you get into the proper just centre, like, you know, once you go inland and it's all mining towns, that's when you're like, it's not as holiday-ish, much more a working trip. Although it's still interesting going to those sorts of towns. But where are you from in Australia?
I grew up in Western Sydney.
Western Sydney, okay.
I was in Melbourne for the last 10 years, but... Yeah, grew up in Western Sydney, way out west.
And Sydney, because Sydney's in, like, you know, it's, I find Sydney quite a, it's really expensive, Sydney.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Obviously everywhere is expensive in the world now. It's, you know, we all know that. It's just impossible now. Like, you know, I see people tweet about it sometimes that you go out for a walk and you might grab a coffee and whatever and you just spend £50. It's like, how has this happened? I've just gone for a walk. You know, they're like... Yeah, I've not. It's mad. Like, I went for drinks the night before last, and we did go to a swanky bar. But me and my mate got two gin and tonics, and they were like big, healthy, probably doubles. But it was £31 for two gin and tonics. It's not on, is it? You know. But it was a swanky bar, and I couldn't say like no when you said £31. Yeah, it's not actually, mate. Is it?
At that point, if you haven't. I did that happened to me one time with soda water. You ever order soda water and it comes back?
Which should
back,
be 10p.
Yeah, or free.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But like even...
Especially if it's just a gun. If it's a gun one.
Oh.
Obviously, if they're opening a bottle and they have to purchase. Yeah, yeah. But soda water out of that gun.
Out of the gun.
Surely that's just, they're just carbonating it in a barrel somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It happened in Australia. It was $6, which is about £3.
Fuck.
And
I
have to be like, no, I'm not, sorry. You can keep it.
Yeah,
no, you keep it.
It should be, yeah. If you've not drunk it, I think technically you should be able to go, do you know what, actually, I've changed it. You can do it with anything else. If you take a pair of jeans to the counter and they say, oh, these are £100, you're allowed to go, actually, I think I'll skip it. You should be able to do it with food and drink. You order a whole dinner and it comes and you're like, no.
Actually, I don't want it.
Yeah, I'm going to leave now.
I spent £5 on a pint of lemonade once at a pub.
Fuck that.
But basically what I think why pubs do it is because people sneak in their own liquor sometimes and pour it in.
So they're trying to make their loss.
They're trying to prevent that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But it's ridiculous for people who aren't drinking as well, because they're encouraged to, like, they're spending so much money on non-alcoholic drinks. They're like, why would I bother not drinking? I can just spend £5 on a lemonade. I can just buy a beer.
Yeah.
So it's really encouraging a drinking problem, I think.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Pubs should be held accountable for that.
My friend's always, he's sort of set a rule that the moment the average price of a pint in pubs hits £7, he's giving up alcohol. that's his cut-off point.
The average price.
Yeah.
Like, gotta check out a few locals.
Well, I suppose if you go to a bar in Soho, it's going to be £7.50 for a pint of a nice beer, you know, a pint of bloody Brixton fucking lager, whatever. But what he means is like your run-of-the-mill, like, sort of, you know, you'd be in a pub in Tooting or Ealing, whatever, just go for it and just get a normal pint, can have a pint of Carlsberg. If they say £7, he's always like, that's the day I give up alcohol. So that's the end of the world, isn't it?
Finally
it's so
sober.
Pricey. It's so, yeah. But it is nice then when you find a pub. Like last night, I went to a funeral and then there was the wake, and then me and a couple of mates just went to a nice little pub near me. And that's relatively reasonable. We were getting three drinks and getting changed, like it was under £15. Ooh. Lovely. Here he is. Julian Dean is in the house, everyone. Wearing sliders. Sorry.
Hey, mate. How's it going? That's good.
Sliders, mate. Yeah, nothing. Up in the sliders. They are comfortable, but you know, you do also look like an outpatient. Someone on day release. Yeah, you two have not met.
No, we've not met.
But how's the traffic, mate?
It's lovely, man.
Really
nice, isn't it?
Bit of a sit for a while.
We've been discussing London traffic and it's just how fast it is. It takes so long to drive around London.
Oh, man. It's only like 11 miles for like over an hour.
Yeah, that is...
it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, you do find that... Like, it took me 2 hours the other week. Over two and a quarter hours the other week to drive from St. Albans to Southwest London. And I reckon that's probably, I'm going to say 25 miles or something, like 30 miles maybe. And bullshit. Like, that is... Any other country that people would be like, that is, how can that happen?
I know.
You know, sort of...
Does that happen in Oz?
No, that. Not the traffic here where it's just like actual standstill.
Yeah, even right in the heart of the cities. I've driven around Melbourne CBD and it's not, you know, it's busy and it's traffic, but like you still move
even
regularly.
When the football's coming out and like there's another event on, you filled the roads, you still move, like you'll still move at some pace.
It's such bullshit, isn't it?
Yeah, because I'm quite zen and, you know, I sort of tend to, you know, be quite good when things are annoying. I tend to be quite sort of like, just get my head right. And I'm like, oh, this is okay. I can live with this. Traffic's one of the only ones that does challenge.
Yeah, you can be zen to a point.
It's because there's nothing you can do. I think it's that hopelessness of like, well, I can't just, unless you have a full on psychotic episode, you're like falling down to leave your car and go and shoot up some people.
It's a good time to practice.
But yeah, because you have to just accept it. There's no other alternative.
Yeah.
Getting upset, you're only hurting yourself. But it's hard traffic. So it is one of the only ones that sort of does get me. And when people stand in the shop doorways, having a conversation in a doorway of a shop, the most. That's literally where people are coming and going through.
Immigrants, you mean? Oh, sorry.
Tourists. It tends to be tourists. Let's not call them immigrants.
That's what you call, yeah. Another word.
But yeah, so it is often.
Them lot.
Them, you know, those people.
Not local to this country.
No, you know, just coming over here with their wacky ways.
Slow drivers are annoying me lately, though. Like, I feel like I've got more impatient now.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Because I suppose when you say slow drivers, like you talking...
They're just really dawdling and I'm like, I need them to move.
Yeah.
Like, I prefer like a boy racer in front.
Well, at least they're moving.
You know what I mean? Yeah, at least they're fucking...
Yes, I find it on motorways.
At least they're clearing the way for you.
On motorways, if somebody is not in the slow lane and they're doing under the speed limit, I'm going to ram you off the road.
I know, yeah.
You know, the slow lane is the one for speed limit and below.
Yeah.
Middle lane and fast lane are for illegal driving. That's the way it should work. It's the only options. Like, I remember Hannah, because my wife, Hannah, is from Melbourne. And like when she first moved over here and the first time we sort of drove down on a motorway, like she couldn't understand why everyone was going so far over the speed limit in the fast lane.
Yeah.
They were like that, but they're all like visibly breaking the law. And like, I tried to explain that she was like, because in Australia, people don't really break
the speed. Not to that extent, no.
But here it is like, you know, you'll have somebody go past you doing 110 miles an hour on the motorway. And you'll just be like, oh, all right, hello, mate. It's like you laugh about it. It's like, but that is so far.
Criminal.
Yeah. And I do it.
There goes a criminal.
And every time you overtake anyone, you're doing 80, 85, 90, whatever, just to get around them. Like, and then you're back in the middle lane. And it's like, hang on, but yeah, and it's totally normal, but you are breaking the law.
I think it's weird when you're doing 70 and someone's up your ass, like, hurry up, like, what, shall I break the law, mate?
Yeah. You know what lane are you in? If you're in the fast lane, I do think you're in the wrong.
I'm on the pavement. Oh, you mean in the road? And it's the feds. I'm in a shopping centre.
And he's up my ass trying to get through.
Yeah. But yeah, now if you're in a fast lane doing the speed limit, then I think people are allowed to give you a bit of grief, get out of the way.
But it's weird, isn't it? Because they're allowed to. You think it's normal, but like you're going the fastest.
Yeah, you're technically doing the right thing, but they, I think, have the moral high ground.
If I'm doing the speed limit or like a little bit over, and someone is riding my, I always slow down.
Are you to annoy always, them more?
It's the
always
best to annoy thing them. To do. Yeah,
all I
want to
do is annoy
down.
Them more.
Yeah.
I once got a lift to a gig in Plymouth, which is so far. That's like a 6-hour drive to the very bottom of the country with an Australian comedian who doesn't do it anymore called Richard Brophy. He was from Sydney. He's a lovely guy.
I remember Richard, yeah.
Yeah. And then he became an inventor for a bit. Did you ever hear about that?
Did he invent
it? He became an inventor?
Did he invent a joke?
Because I didn't see him for years. Really, oh, he's, I've got an amazing story about him, actually. It's so, I mean, I won't
a good guy.
I won't say the word, but I'll explain what he said. I might have, I don't know if I've told this on him before. One of his first gigs he did after he landed from Sydney was in Streatham in southwest London, near where I'm from. Very ethnically diverse part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
He was on stage doing really well. He was super charming and like charismatic and likable. And he was just sort of like, you know, smiling, making them laugh, and he was having a good gig. And then he started talking about cricket, and England had just lost a test or something to Pakistan. And he said he didn't realise that in Australia, that people from Pakistan, they're referred to in a word that you don't say here because it was...
What's the word, Carl?
I'm trying to think, because there's a few words. It's a shorter... Which one?
Well, basically, yeah.
What's your favourite...
You know, we have obviously in Australia, because that word never had any baggage with it. It wasn't a racial slur.
Yeah, it said
it's a normal, like, because you shorten every word in Australia.
The P word.
So, but in here, it was so loaded because of like 70s and 80s racism where it was shouted at people and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Julian used to shout at people in the street.
Yeah. 2023 racism.
If you're driving through shopping centre.
Today, you were shouting out your window, a slow driver, aren't you? No, but you know, it was. It's a horrible word in this country. But he, Brophy, on stage was talking about the cricket. And he went, so I hear you guys just lost to the, and just said the P word.
Because
he had no idea it was a slur here. And the crowd obviously just sort of almost went silent with shock because you wouldn't have heard that on stage for 30 years here. Like, it'd be like saying the N-word. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But like...
It is up there.
And not in a sort of like, in attempting some weird irony or whatever bullshit. Like, but like literally just saying it in a sentence.
He was just abbreviating,
yeah.
You know.
But he said it so casually. And the crowd were just like... And it just died for the next 2 minutes. Then he came off and he said to me, like, I don't know what happened there. Like... I was going really well, and I was like, well, what happened is you said a racial slur.
And a harsh, violent word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I had to explain to him that, and he learned then in that, like...
I'm just realising where some of my gigs are not going. Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh.
You can say the N-word here.
Okay, that's good. No, don't worry. I have been. I didn't realise you could, but okay, yeah. Great.
Open with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, what, also he was the worst driver I've ever got a lift to. Plymouth, he drove the whole way on the motorway in the fast lane doing 55 miles an hour.
Oh my God.
Like, it was so frustrating. He had to keep moving. Everyone would get up his ass beat. He'd move into the middle lane.
It's hard to kind of
they'd pass and then he'd move back into the fast lane that slow. And you can't, when somebody's giving you a 6-hour lift to Plymouth, you can't tell them how to drive.
Can't they put their foot down?
Yeah.
I ain't got all day.
Exactly.
Bro.
So you just got to suck it up and just hate every minute of it.
When we were newer, like, I once got him to replace me at a gig.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, nice one. And he did the gig. And afterwards, he didn't really speak to me. The gig was so bad. So weird. Like it was my fault.
Yeah.
But I bumped into him in Edinburgh months later. This was 2010. And he was like, like, it was all like, as if I'd set... It was like I'd set him up or something. I didn't... Like, it was funny. So weird.
Just pranked him.
Yeah.
How have you found quality of gigs here? Like, what sort of... Have you been travelling much? Doing a lot of out-of-town stuff?
Yeah, I've done a little bit out of town.
Yeah.
It varies wildly, the quality of gig, to like some of the best gigs to a gig that is worse than any gig I've ever done before in my life.
Anywhere in the world.
I mean, there is. I just remember I suppose it's because you're entering newer. Like, you know, you're trying to sort of, you know, bed in. And so I think, yeah, that because I remember when I was new, some of the new act gigs that we would have done back in the sort of 2008, 2007 or whatever, it was basically performing to 6 comedians and a Swedish family. Yeah,
there was that little pub down near Westminster. Do you ever do that? And it was downstairs. It
yeah.
Was like an open...
It was, what was it called? Fuck, I know, I do
right
remember
near
that.
Parliament, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
A nice area.
That was a nice,
I remember doing two people once.
Oh,
in
my
there.
God.
Two people in the audience.
It's I heard that, I'm like, oh, that's not bad, actually. Yeah. Only 6 comedians, and there's a Swedish family in there. That's all right, actually.
I was filming my special.
And the Swedish family were up for it. They were laughers. They were into it. That's all right.
That's the funny. When you, again, those gigs, sometimes obviously some of the acts might be a bit newer and a bit more, what's the word? Like earnest.
Yeah.
And it was, I remember just when I was new, I always had quite a good gauge that like, this is, I don't want to be doing this gig. Like, you know, I'm using it for me. This isn't, I'm not pretending this is a great gig, but some of the other rats, they'd be like, you know, there'd be like three
people.
There'd be
people on 10, like eyes and then their teeth.
Yeah.
Performance.
And afterwards, you know, there'd be three people, it'd be thankless. And they'd be like, yeah, but they were really nice three, weren't they? Like, really up for it. I was like, mate, shut up. It makes me want to kill myself.
I don't care if they're nice.
Yeah.
It's like when you see the video, like videos will come up from like a bad gig, and you, I almost want to just like message and be like, you don't have to tell anyone you did it.
I'm not telling
anyone I did the gig. You don't need to tell.
Yeah. I've been sent like a few times like online, sort of new acts have sent me, like, you know, because they've seen me and like what I do, and they've asked for advice on their set, and they'll send me like a link to their YouTube, like where they've put like this second ever gig on YouTube. And my, like, you know, you can't say to them, it's hard to say to them, look, well, first off, my advice is take that offline now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right, wait a year or something. Yeah, just wait until you've got more confidence and you look a bit more natural on stage and stuff. Because like, it literally is watching an open spot, just stuttering through words. You're like, fuck, man. Well, you put it online. You don't have to put everything online. Every gig doesn't have to be filmed, guys. Yeah. but so you've been traveling, you've been doing, so how are you finding it? Is it,
it's
just must be a hard, it's hard to like, it's just must be hard to start again in another country.
Yeah. It's humbling.
How long are you here for?
I'm here for, at least 5 years. So I'm here for,
so what's your visa situation?
I'm on an ancestry visa.
I bumped into Michael Schaefer.
Like, oh yes.
Who's just done the same.
Also
as
on
here.
An ancestry
He's
visa.
He's on the ancestry visa. How does that work? Just who?
So it's my...
How far back does it have to
my
go?
My grandmother
is
English. Uh-huh. And so...
Because surely, technically, every... 90% of white Australians, ancestry-wise, would probably be British. You know what I mean? Like, if you actually go far enough back. So, you know, like, how, yeah, does it have to be an immediate, like, a grandparent?
Yeah, it's my grandmother.
Right.
And so my dad could get a passport.
Yeah.
But I can get a ancestry visa. And so Kate, my fiance, she's able to get in on that.
Right, okay.
So we're both on that ancestry.
Mm.
Thanks, Grandma.
Nice.
That's
all right, isn't it? It's quite easy to get into England, is it? It's harder than the other way.
Australian, the visa system is a little bit trickier, I reckon.
Even like the 2 year visa you can get, if you're like, we can get it if we're under 35, we can get a 2 year visa to here. But I think if you go the other way, you have to do farm work.
Farm work. Have you not heard about this?
You don't know about this? It's crazy.
I mean, it's not just like, you know, it's not,
not
a
like
couple
for
of days.
Yeah, no. For like a long period of time.
It's like 2 months.
They shouldn't tell you until you get there.
I think it's pretty funny.
2 years on the farm.
Stamping it, right.
There's and your right, digs.
Now you're a farmer. What?
It could just be a prank we're playing.
I only come here for 2 gigs. I only come here for a weekend.
Gotta go pick berries for a little while.
Yeah, it's mad. Like, can you check? How long the actual farm work is for?
It could be like 3 months or
that
something.
That sounds really good, though.
But some people said it's nice. You go off into some weird little regional town. And like, some people have had great experiences. Some people I know were like, it was fucked, man.
I met a bunch of...
I don't want to pick strawberries. I'm on holiday.
No, I'm all right. In 100 degrees.
Just gone traveling. I'm backpacking.
I met some who...
You
were
get
like,
paid for it, though.
You get... Yeah. I mean, it depends. Again, it also depends
on
the type of farm that you get with.
Oh, really?
One of them, they were delivering, like, calves with cows. That was part of their farm work. Was,
oh,
like,
man,
they were delivering.
Fucked.
That grossed me out.
Just like because you want
to
stay in Sydney in a hostel.
So you got your hand up a cow's ass.
And he wanted to go to Bondi.
Because I thought the same thing. Like, if I had to come here and it's just like, oh, you got to go live on a farm.
You've got to work in a car factory.
Yeah. Got to go down the mines for a couple of months.
Go work in Aldi.
it used to be 3 months, but I think they have got rid of it now.
Okay.
21, they got rid of it. But yeah, it used
that
to
is a shame.
Of paid farm work, yeah. Because I remember looking into it or someone telling me about it. But it is a thing.
How do you think you'd fare on a farm?
Very poorly. Yeah. Very pasty. So
I imagine.
Be a tomato by the
end.
I did meet one girl who she did it and she was just like, I was just like, fuck this, I'm just going to treat it like it's a resort. So she'd like use the bathroom and be like, I'm just going to have a bath. And everyone would be like, come on, you got it. And she's like, nah, fuck this, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, well, they're going to do sack you.
Yeah. Like they're getting, because I think the farms also get money from the government to have the workers work there. So what? It's a bit of a...
Double
whack. Yeah, they're getting
subsidies, right. They're getting and free labor.
And they're getting subsidies for it. Not a bad little scheme.
Right, it sounds like, how did that ever get off the ground? Like... Yeah, you know, like it's always that sort of, you see, like there's often routines about like who was the first one to say that.
Yeah.
Imagine that meeting, you know what I mean, where somebody was like, right, I've got an idea. All tourists have to be farm workers.
To mow the lawn.
Yeah, it's mad. But I was about to say something, I totally forgot what it is. Oh, let's do some questions now before we sort of go over the 45-minute mark. We've got, so your name did come up, obviously, when I said,
oh, yes.
You know, because the first person did a joke about how much money have you made out of reggae sauce. Do you get that reference?
I do actually get that reference now.
Do you know, because, Peter Jones obviously was a dragon on Dragon's Den. And I didn't realize reggae sauce came out of Dragon's Den.
Yeah, it was pitched on Dragon's Den initially.
Isn't it?
No, and then he made a song about it.
But isn't what's his name? Levi.
And a musical, apparently.
Levi Roots. But isn't that's not his real name, is it? I've heard it's like a sort of, like it's a bit of a myth. He's created this character.
Yeah.
Can we bring it up?
His name is Brian.
I think it's sort of like I've heard word, and it's now might now have just slandered somebody.
Levi Roots. I bet he's a multi-millionaire now, isn't he?
Keith Valentine Graham.
Keith also a good name.
Keith Valentine spices all right. up. But Keith Graham.
That's a pretty...
Is he an English guy? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's British Jamaican. Worth 30 million. So
Jesus. I will say, free advertising for Keith. Is the reggae barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
It's the best barbecue sauce.
Is it?
It's so spicy and lovely and it's wicked. So good on you. Good on you, Keith.
Might get a bottle.
Do it. It's like it's wicked. It. Anyway.
So my name's the same as his name.
I suppose, and then a follow-up question to that was
Peter Jones.
If you were Peter Jones, what would you do with all his money? I suppose that's a
couple of brasses.
I would probably
while I think of stuff, get horny and then see what I needed. It's always good to purchase when you're, horny.
Never go shopping when you're hungry or horny.
Those are the rules. Oh, God. Yes. I mean, how much do we know? Oh, God.
Billionaire.
Sorry to keep getting into Google stuff.
Is he a billionaire?
What, he is a billionaire.
Is he actually a billionaire?
He's a
Peter
billionaire.
Jones' net worth.
What does he even own?
Reggae.
He's got that sauce.
Ah, so he...
Hamage.
Say he takes a nice little 30% of that sauce or something, does he?
1.1 billion.
Woo, mama.
Yeah, not bad.
Billion.
Fucking tough.
That's so much money.
It is a lot. I think I would go on Dragon's Den. I mean, if you had that money...
Oh, if you become a dragon.
You become a dragon.
I don't even go on it.
I just go on it with my own.
I'm just rich. I just wanted to tell someone.
You can get a percent for 25%. You can have some of this money. Because...
How did he start then?
What was his story?
How did he get his first...
Because his Bannatyne was the other one.
How did he get his
first
20 quid?
I did find out about it because
computers,
I checked into a show.
Computers?
Yeah, I think so.
And yeah.
She asked what name I was under. I said, oh, Peter Jones. She goes, oh, like the dragon. And she goes, I bet you get that all the time. I'm like, I've never heard that before in my life.
If I was a billionaire, did we talk about this last week? So we were talking about those submarine billionaires. And I'm saying, like, it's people like, loads of people online were sort of like shocked. Why would they go down in that submarine? It's like, because you're a billionaire. If I was a billionaire, I think you'd be so, because you're so above normal social mores. You're outside of the system. You're above the law. You're richer than country. Like, you know what I mean? Sort of small, very tiny country. But I do think it would go to your head and you'd just be doing mad shit.
He was an explorer, that guy, though, when he like some adrenaline junkie.
Yeah, of course. And I think I reckon I'd be, I'm not saying I'd be climbing Everest or something, but I wouldn't be surprised if I was, you know, jumping off a cliff in a wingsuit or something.
Just to feel anything?
Just to feel. I need challenge.
Because you can have every luxury.
Anything you want.
I suppose they're a bit psychopathic, aren't they? But they've got, you know, they're not murdering anyone. They're just getting their
heads. They want to.
Yeah.
But you probably could. If a billionaire, I reckon you'd kill someone.
Yeah. You could have someone killed.
Yeah, you could have someone killed.
Easy.
But you could. I reckon you could just create a system where you just could. You could kill people one a week. Like, just. Yeah, team of people.
But even that would become routine.
That's true. Yeah.
And then you got to be killing two a week. Just
I'm not saying this is disgusting, but like, you know, homeless people say, you get your team to pick one up, take him to a secure location.
I suspect if
What's disgusting about that?
What? Yeah, what do you think?
That's what I mean. It's horrible, but you obviously would work it within the
keep
terrible
tidy
system. God.
But there was those kids in America that would get homeless bum fights, wouldn't they? They'd get
pay them to fight.
Yeah, that was out.
That's horrible.
That's horrible, isn't it?
I suspect if you're a billionaire, though, you'd want even like a to see how high up you could go in terms of the sort of person you could get into those fights.
I thought you meant who could, how high up the social ladder could you kill?
Oh yeah, also that
before it become a problem.
Yeah, before anyone notices.
Yeah. Okay, all right, well, you know, it's a lot.
That's not what I'd do with the money.
I'm just saying. Oh,
man. Your five-year plan when you're in England.
I'd probably just buy an island and live on it, just to be honest. I think I'd buy
like Epstein.
And then, ship in some kids and
get
some
your
mates.
Own laws.
Yeah.
Have your own plane. meet Chris Tucker, all that sort of stuff.
He's a wrong un, Epstein was. Really? I don't really know much about it. I think he was a bad egg.
Yeah.
But
he was silly rich, wasn't he? Like half a bill or something.
Yeah.
The fuck did he
do? But I suppose being a pimp for billionaires.
But I suppose the money.
It's quite, money.
He got into that after the money, I think, though, didn't he? It's like a hedge fund manager.
Okay. I think. But what I was saying was often, and this is not, I think he was guilty and all that stuff. And obviously there was a lot of people that were tied in with him that were up to bad shit.
Mm.
But when people say like, you know, anyone that was in his little black book, whatever, they're always saying they need to publish all the names in the black book.
Yeah,
like if you're a billionaire hedge fund manager, I reckon you've got a lot of contacts. I don't think everyone in that book was a nonce. You know what I mean? Actually, you know, it's just often it's sort of they just assume if it like
it could be people he's trying to contact to be so that
unless
they,
on the front of the book is
to offer a picture,
nonce,
but they might have absolutely not been into it.
Yeah,
so you know, I do think
it's just people he might suspect.
Yeah, they give a whiff.
You covering your tracks?
just saying.
I did a little business.
Just saying, if you're in,
a couple of emails.
It doesn't mean anything. Yeah, could have just been one phone call, man.
So if they do release it. Just a bit of a heads up, not everyone on that list is necessarily a bad person. Somebody hanging out with the wrong crowd, that's all who's on there.
It's so powerful, I guess, that won't be released, will it? Well, why isn't it released now?
Well, probably because most of the top people
they
in the country are in it.
They decide what's released, yeah.
Well, exactly. So why, you know, it's... I think
like Bill Clinton was visited a few times, didn't he?
Yeah. That fat pedo. No, I'm joking.
That lucky bastard. Must have been amazing there, though.
Oh, God.
Imagine that. Lawless. Not really. I'd have fucking stopped it, mate.
Oh, yeah. If you'd been
Stop a sec. It's my turn.
In the middle, just like, this is all wrong.
Do you remember that guy
who got in touch Rome?
The guy who got in touch on Twitter a couple of weeks ago saying, look, guys, I love the podcast, but can you stop talking about paedophiles?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Was he scared? Or? Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Fucking nonce. Not really.
Right.
Sorry,
what is this? What is this? If I pop in and buy a watch today, will you throw in a pair of earrings for the missus? Who said, what is that about?
I don't know.
Oh, is your name a watch shop as well?
Oh, it's also, it is a department store.
In Sydney?
No, in London, I think.
Peter Jones department store.
Yeah, it's jewellery, actually.
It's jewellery store?
Sloane Square. There we go.
That guy might own that then.
I think it's different Peter Jones.
Oh, there's a lot of you lot, isn't there?
There's Peter Jack in the
There's a few of us.
Oh, no, that's wrong one. Sorry.
So where did you grow up? Melbourne?
I grew up in Sydney, out west of Sydney, but I've been living in
Whereabouts
Melbourne.
Whereabouts in Sydney?
Away out west in Quakers Hill.
Ah.
Do you know who Stan Grant is?
Yeah.
There's a question about Stan Grant. I don't know who that is. Basically, the question is, having read about Stan Grant's recent resignation, I'm wondering if the stand-up circuit in Australia is a bit Chubby Brown / Bernard Manning, which are like old school,
yeah, sort of,
you know.
Stan Grant was the host of a Q&A and he resigned because he kept getting a lot of racist comments from the public.
He would get racist comics.
Come on the show and have a bit of a laugh. Yeah. He would get racist comments, and so he resigned because he was.
Why would he get racist comments? Was he?
He's Indigenous.
Fuck.
Okay.
like for what on social media or in real literally in the street.
I believe on social media.
Right, okay. I don't know why I said that like it's not as bad.
Oh, okay, then it's fine.
Oh, it's just like 100 tweets a day. Oh, right, really?
Is Indigenous, you can't say Aborigine anymore.
I mean, you can say whatever you want.
But yeah.
I don't actually know. I don't know.
You can't say the shortened word of Aborigine, ABO, you can't say, can you?
No. Spell it into a microphone.
But it doesn't feel like a slur.
It's this sort of stuff as West End retired. Okay. He resigned.
So is that a slur, though, that word, the long word I just said? No.
No.
But I think now it's, but I do think Indigenous has just become the sort of standard.
Yeah.
It's more complimentary, is it? Like, you were here first, mate. It's your place. It's more honourable.
Yeah, I mean, this is the worst topic.
I mean, you haven't heard so many other ones we've had.
Don't be scared.
No topic is off limits.
We can always cut it.
No, that's fine.
We definitely won't. Don't worry.
But yeah,
I would say I'm not the expert.
But I suppose that
we're going to clip this.
I suppose, yeah.
Do you want to become a judge?
The question was, about the race.
About the racist comedians.
Or just, yeah.
I don't think the comedians are particularly racist in Australia at all.
No. What, is there any old, like... Who are the old boys, like Rodney Rude?
Rodney Rude and Kevin Bloody Wilson.
Yes.
Kevin Bloody Wilson.
I remember.
So they would be like, our Chubby Brown type.
It was good, wasn't it?
But yeah, so I suppose that's, that old circuit. It's like here, that old generation were outdated, but now like most of the young'uns. I would say in terms of like progressive beliefs, I would say the Melbourne circuit in particular is the most progressive like circuit I've seen in the world.
Hi, everybody. That's the end of the public episode.
Thanks for listening. Now, if you would like to hear more, you can go over to patreon.com/...
We are TVI. You have to put it in the search bar.
Because we still haven't taken it off adult content.
Because it's triple X.
It's dirty. Filthy.
Nice.
Get your willies out when you listen. but yeah, go over to Patreon, sign up. What's the tiers? I can't remember what it is. Three?
We've got £3, £5, £10 and £20.
I mean, the 20 is a joke one. £10 is sort of a joke as well. £3 gets you just all the back catalogue extra episodes and
hours and hours. Hours.
I mean, there's I don't know, how am I? 100?
100 hours.
Extra sort of episodes. The £5 tier, you get all that as well. But you also, if you wish, get to join the TVI WhatsApp group. And
you can also see the full episode or listen to the full episode with a £3 tier.
Yeah. So
£5 gets you the WhatsApp group.
Yeah. Excellent. That's it. That's all you need to know. Get over to Patreon if you want more.
Thanks for listening.
Otherwise,
though,
just thanks for listening to the public episode. And we'll
please like and share.
Yeah, give it a share, mate. Tell your friends. Tell your families. Tell your kids. Bye-bye.
Love you.
You're actually changing the podcast.
I think you're... Oh, if you die of AIDS in an alleyway...